folks. We are in live. It is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Second show ever. Unbelievable. And we're going to be going over a lot of stuff in the next 2 hours. And in the third hour, we have Mark Dice of the ResistanceManifesto.com on board with us. We're going to analyze this Glenn Beck clip coming up in the second segment and really go through. He's going to get down to the bottom of FEMA camps, apparently. Glenn Beck, our best friend, apparently. Yeah. I don't buy it. Glenn Beck, one of the cheerleaders of the Republican Party all the way into its demise. And remember when he was on the Ron Paul bashing bandwagon? Yeah. Now he changes it up a little bit because Paul was right, obviously. And it just disgusts me to see this guy. Oh, he's the one telling us about the big bankers now. Now he's the big anti-New World Order guy. You know what? I also want to pull up the Glenn Beck, Saakashvili, New World Order clip. We're gonna pull that up too. Because when Saakashvili was talking about how, you know, the Russians were against the New World Order, Glenn Beck didn't even challenge him on it. It was a big love fest. Oh, Mr. Saakashvili, you're doing so good for us. Well, he is a front man. You want to get down to it, Glenn Beck? You want to get down to it? Oh, here it is right here. It's the Declassified Civilian Inmate Labor Program from 2005. It's right here. It's a PDF file. Okay? PrisonPlanet.tv viewers can check it right out. And this is civilian inmate labor camps on military facilities. 2005. See, they put the infrastructure in, and then they carry it out. We got a lot more on you today. We're going to get into the Mumbai attacks a little bit because, you know, not only did that have all the earmarks of an inside job, but this latest thing in Sri Lanka, cricket team getting gunned down, no one's found, all these warnings are ignored. Mark my words, folks, we're going to have a lot of either United States troops in Pakistan on the ground, whether they say it's a conflict or not, or we're going to have a lot of NORTHCOM troops or UN troops, NATO troops. You know what? That's probably what we're gearing up for. A lot of NATO forces on the Pakistani border to help us ensure for a new Eurasia. So we're going to be going over that evidence as well. And then we can't forget about what's going on in this country and the Obamanomics. Blockbuster, earlier today it was reported they were probably going to go bankrupt. They were going to go under. They're saying, no, our shares are being held, but we're revamping and we have to redo our credit. And we're going to be around. But it doesn't look good for Blockbuster. And Blockbuster is one of those companies that you would think would be successful. It's the most dominant of all video retailers. And we're such zombies that all we want to do is watch Bruce Willis save the world 165 times. I mean, how many diehards are there? Is it four or five? It's four, right? Yeah, four. I'm sure the fifth one's on the way with Stallone and Rocky, you know, 107 and Rambo 46. Although the last Rambo, most violent movie I've ever seen, still pretty good. You know, at least, I'll tell you what, the last Rambo, it actually showed in the very beginning, it showed some of the horrific things that are done in South America and these militants that we train at the School of Americas. And I saw a big story about that earlier. Let's shut down the School of Americas. Yeah, no kidding. It's just been renamed Fort Benning, Georgia. Folks, we train these brutal dictators and their military death squads. It's unbelievable. We're going to be going over all that. Rex 84, the plan for internment camps for U.S. citizens. This came out, of course, in the Iran-Contra hearings. Okay, basically, he said, we need to go into closed session. We can't really talk about this. But recently, it was brought on the floor again by Congress. And Congress, again, supposed to have oversight over the presidency. Three branches of government, okay, checks and balances. It's not just your checkbook that you have to balance. It's checks and balances on government. We used to have that. We don't have that any longer. So we're coming back with big news and big clips. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, only at PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com. Taking calls at the 30 after. It's 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. So let's just hit the clips right away. I want to do it in this order. All right, Glenn Beck is a disingenuous savage, okay? He's always crying about, oh, I was an alcoholic and I got my life straight. Good for you, buddy. Great. You know, I was bad to my wife. I come, you know, I'm sure that you're going to be bad to your next girlfriends because you're not a good person. Okay. And you're very disingenuous and I don't like your face. How's that, Glenn Beck? So let's pull up the Glenn Beck on Fox and Friends. And let me tell you, folks, Fox and Friends, not our friends, not our buddies. Okay. Let's play him talking about the FEMA camps. Let's do it.
We don't even understand freedom anymore. We are a country that is headed towards socialism, totalitarianism, beyond your wildest imagination. I have to tell you, I'm doing a story tonight that I wanted to debunk these FEMA camps. I'm tired of hearing. You know about them?
Sure.
I'm tired of hearing. I wanted to debunk them. Well, we've now for several days done research on them. I can't debunk them. And we're going to carry the story tonight.
I don't know anything about them.
It is our government. If you trust our government, it's fine. If you have any kind of fear that we might be headed towards a totalitarian state, look out. Buckle up. There's something going on in our country that is... ain't good.
All right. Something else you're going to talk about coming up next.
I know. I'm wondering if
Gretchen,
I should go under the couch
again. Gretchen, do not get on. Stay above the table.
Again, Gretchen.
What?
Name the monster in the dark and have no fear. There are more of us than there are of them. We just have to be honest and open about
right.
these
and
things.
And guess what?
And we can
our new Secretary
them.
Of State just went and shook the hands of another voice of evil, and that is Syria. Who have never come clean on killing the...
Name
the...
evil. Stop. America has got
gotcha.
To stand up.
Hey, Glenn, we have to stand up and take a break.
That's right.
Possible?
Because but will you stick around? Because we have other stuff
you don't,
to talk
you're,
to.
You're,
no, we want you to stick around.
I love you, Glenn.
It's a point of view we don't get from
you. All right, let's cut the clip. You know, I'm pretty surprised about that. At least he's at least talking about it. Let's see how far he goes. But, you know, if he's going to get to the bottom of it, it's right here. It's right here. Civilian Inmate Labor Program. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, you can pull it up. It is Army Regulation 210-35, declassified, January 14, 2005 document. Just check it out. I mean, it's there. We know the FEMA camps are there. We know they're putting them into place. We know they have all these weird little coffin things. All right, let's go to, now, if Glenn Beck is such a good guy, why didn't he call out Saakashvili on the New World Order? Let's go to Saakashvili's clip. And then we'll go to the other one.
Continuing my conversation now with the president of Georgia, Mikhail Saakashvili. Mr. President, quickly if we can, you speak very frankly and say things. I was listening to you in the last few minutes, and you don't hear a politician speak the way you do in America. You just lay all your cards down on the table. This is you a couple of days ago under flak jackets. You're being targeted. Now you're standing on an open roof. Do you believe that... do you believe that this will end, Russia will end, if you are dead?
Well, you know, it's not the fact that I was targeted. My people has been targeted, and I couldn't care less whether I was targeted. The worst thing was that I was standing there with my people. They were bombed, and I was just targeted like them. And as elected president, official in charge of their protection, I couldn't do anything about it. But the point here is, it's not about me. It's about the idea of freedom. It's about the future of the whole region. It's about the future of Europe and a new world order. And what I think is that
it's the future of Europe and the new world order and freedom. See, the new world order is freedom. No, it's not freedom. It's anything but freedom. It's consolidation of power. It's world government and it's tyrannical rule. Now, Glenn Beck doesn't call him out on that. He just goes along with the flow. Okay, now let's go to that congressman bringing up Rex 84 and the continuity of government plans. That's what COG is. COG revamped in the 80s under George H.W. Bush, former director of the CIA, former vice president, former president for 4 years. And of course, one of the main advisors to his puppet son. Okay, this guy is the guy that revamped the continuity of government program so that they could do things like this. Let's play the clip.
Would agree that it would be prudent to have a plan to provide for the continuity of government and the rule of law in case of a devastating terrorist attack or natural disaster. A plan that would provide for the cooperation, the coordination, and continued functioning of all three branches of the government. The Bush administration tells us they have such a plan. They introduced a little sketchy public version that's clearly inadequate. And doesn't really tell us what they have in mind. But they said, don't worry, there's a detailed classified version. But now they've denied the entire Homeland Security Committee of the United States House of Representatives access to their so-called detailed plan to provide for continuity of government. They say, trust us. Trust us, the people who brought us Katrina, to be competent in face of a disaster. Trust us, the people who brought us warrantless wiretapping and other excesses eroding our civil liberties. Trust us. Maybe the plan just really doesn't exist, and that's why they won't show it to us. I don't know. Or maybe there's something there that's outrageous. The American people need their elected representatives to review this plan for the continuity of government.
The gentleman's time has expired. For what purpose does the gentleman from Texas rise?
What's the mission to...
All right, so there you have it. All right, it exists. The FEMA camps are there. It's under executive orders, under national security, and we're not allowed to know about it. But it's right out in the open, folks. And as people lose their jobs and lose their homes and they have nowhere to go, they are going to turn to these camps as a place for refuge. They're going to think, oh, I got to feed my baby. I got to clothe my child. How else am I going to do this? And then with the increased job losses, you're going to see more and more people saying, you know what, I'll work for these people. And they don't have to be jackboots to work at a computer, okay, or a cafeteria. You see how they're going to get... you know what? People are always going to need their haircut. When barbers aren't making the money because people are like growing it long because they really just can't afford it, you know what? The FEMA camp will take care of it. It'll be a government funding thing. We'll bring in 100 of those guys into the county, and we'll be good. We'll be able to groom everybody. You know? Same thing with you worked at a restaurant. Now you're going to work in a big cafeteria serving all these people. You're used to living in a nice apartment or a small house with you, you know, maybe a three-bedroom, you and your two kids. Well, guess what? It's going to be like a dorm room. And you'll be lucky to have a suite. A suite would actually have like a living area. That'd be good compared to what the Chinese get who work at Walmart. They get a nice... It's so great over there in China, and that's the model. And, oh, I love China so much. That what they do is, in these big corporations, is, first of all, the whole family works in one of these sweatshops, right? Especially for Walmart. And they actually have to pay to live there. Okay, so the family sleeps in like a dormitory that's not fit for more than, you know, 2 to 4 people to even sleep in. They use community bathrooms, barely any furniture, and then they have to pay $175 a month just to stay there. Now, if they want to break out and they don't want to stay there, they still got to pay $80. It's disgusting, and it's what we're headed towards. And then the FEMA camps are going to be even worse, but people are just going to clamor for it. So, you know, I guess Glenn Beck's here to save us. You know, let's listen to Glenn. Now that he's on Fox News, he's unstoppable. Now that the Democrats are in power, you know, he'll give you a little bit, a tad bit. But you mark my words, it's going to be a soft core piece. And they're going to be like, well, there's really nothing to worry about yet. And they could do some positive things for us. It makes me sick. All right, I want to shift gears to some more propaganda being put out there. You know, I've been talking about the redistribution of forces into Afghanistan. And right now, they're putting out this story that Afghan farmers are turning from drugs to fish. From drugs to fish. Give me a break. See, now that we're going to have even more troops there, they're going to try to make it seem like it's a positive thing and they're bringing out the drugs. I mean, in big letters, they say, drugs help insurgents. More propaganda. The drugs, see, the terrorists are the ones dealing 90% of the poppy out to the world. It's not us who control the nation. The drugs help insurgents. In a way, that's kind of true. Since we fund most of these military leaders through drug money, and especially insurgencies, through this drug money, that is kind of true. But it's your own government that is actually cultivating this poppy and encouraging it. It's unbelievable. Just to look at some of this terror. I mean, all right, first of all, there's this big attack. Can we pull up some of those pictures, guys? Some of the pictures of the Sri Lanka event right there? Basically, all these guys were mowed down. I guess the cricket players actually survived, but a couple of MPs or police officers got mowed down. Some bystanders got mowed down, and nobody's been caught. Nobody at all. We're going to play the clip. But, you know, of course, all the warnings were... Actually, let's play the audio on that because this talks about the warnings of the attacks.
The cricket team, which was on its way to the National Gaddafi Stadium to play a test match against Pakistan. At the time of speaking, 5 members of the police were killed and 7 members of the visiting Sri Lankan cricket team were wounded. The roundabout where the attack took place is surrounded by a number of shopping centres, And on closer inspection of the shopping centres, there were many bullet marks from apparently very powerful weapons. Lahore was a very, very busy, congested, polluted city. Fortunately, this attack took place a couple of hours before the shops were due to open. Otherwise, the death toll could have been much worse. They haven't sealed off the area apart from to traffic, and pedestrians are milling about. And I saw a young child retrieve a bullet out of a pond at the centre of the roundabout. And I myself found...
All right, pull the clip. I just want to read the article that goes with this. The first thing, Pakistani officials received specific warnings that militants were planning to ambush the Sri Lankan cricket squad, but they were unable to prevent today's deadly attack because the country's spiraling political crisis. Give me a break. We're going to go deeper into that on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And we're talking about the warnings of the attacks on the Sri Lanka cricket team. Why is it that Pakistan is now becoming a hotbed for terror? Well, it's because they need to put troops there. And hopefully world government troops. In other words, NATO forces or more U.S. forces or U.S. allied forces. Because we're about to redistribute forces over into Afghanistan. And we want to have some backup in Pakistan. And that's why you're seeing the PR here that the farmers are turning from drugs to fish, okay? Because you got to put a nice little face on it. Oh, Obama administration, no more drugs. Now it's fish. Everybody likes fish. That's good, great. In reality, they're going to keep dealing the H right out of it through their little CIA spook house, and they're going to keep provocateuring this terror. Okay, let me read it again for you, folks. First paragraph of the article. Pakistani officials received specific warnings that militants were planning to ambush the Sri Lankan cricket squad, but they were unable to prevent today's deadly attack because of the country's spiraling political crisis, opposition MPs claimed. A few paragraphs down, but tonight attention was focusing on the apparently lax security arrangements. After a document emerged in the Pakistani media showing the local police had a warning in writing of the possibility of the Sri Lankan team being targeted. Really? Well, since, you know, this is probably an offshoot of the ISI-CIA op they got running. Of course, and no one's been caught. And let's go back to the Mumbai attacks for a second here. Mumbai attackers' phones traced to Italy and the U.S. Really? Really? So, in other words, Western funding. Really? Probably ties to their intelligence agencies as well. But I'm making it, you know, I'm not reading this off of the Times of India or Reuters or AP. You know, I'm reading it from Kookhaus Central in tinfoil hatland, apparently. You know, figure it out, folks. We're not leaving the Middle East. We need to provocateur small events like this one. And it's not small for the people that are losing family members. You know, I want to talk about this and then whatever other news stories you got for me out there, folks. It's 866-582-9933, and we're going to be taking your calls in the next segment. Lockheed wins big U.S. special operations contract. You want to know who pulls off these plausible deniability special ops? Well, it's these big corporations. This is the military-industrial complex. We were warned about it in the 50s and 60s. And here they are with a $5 billion contract through 2018. And I love how they say the contract is worth up to $5 billion. Folks, they're probably going to get $25 billion by that. It's called black ops money, and they don't tell you where it goes. Okay, so $5 billion maybe publicly. And you know what? It'll turn from 5 to 10 to 15 because they'll say they're under budget. And they need to do this for national security. I mean, it's unbelievable. They say it's a guaranteed amount of $2.5 million out of $5 billion. That's a joke. $2.5 million was probably used to grease the official to get the contract. Give me a break. Like I said, we're also going to get into Obamanomics in the next hour. So you're going to want to listen to all 3 hours. That's what the InfoWarrior is all about. 3 hours of news. Blockbuster looks like it might go under. They're going to have to redistribute their credit. You know, God forbid we can't get movies except through, you know, the internet or Netflix. I don't know how I feel about that. It just shows that even a successful company can't make it in today's economy. It's kind of gross. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. Millions of elderly patients prescribed unnecessary pills because of tick box culture, says experts. So here they are admitting, yeah, we're drugging all the old people for money. That's what we're doing it for. We like the money, so we're going to say you're sick. See, they're not only doing it to the old people, they're doing it to the young people, and guess what? Also the stupid people, and there's plenty of them. And all you stupid people out there that are watching these ads on television for Prilosec and God knows what else, and it's like, are you tired? Do you need sleep? Are you awake a lot? Do you think during the day? We have the pill for you. And, you know, and everybody thinks it's the best thing since breakfast. Yeah, let's get on more drugs and let's have... See, when they prescribe you these drugs, they make a little side commission. And, you know, say what you want about Michael Moore. Sicko was a good flick. I don't agree with all of it. I'm not into the socialist healthcare aspect of it, but at least he went after Big Pharma for a little bit because it's disgusting what they've done. They've created an industry out of sickness. It's not a wellness industry. They don't want you to get well. Okay? They don't want that. See, it's like George Carlin said, if there weren't so many curses in it, we'd probably play it here. I got to bust out a clip on it. They don't want an informed populace. They don't want that. They want a population that's just smart enough to, you know, go about their everyday lives and operate the machines, but not smart enough to figure out who their masters are. And that's what this show is about. That's what Alex Jones is about. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com. We are back. It is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And before we go to our calls, I want to mention that the Obama deception drops on PrisonPlanet.tv on March 15th. And I've watched the movie. It goes by very quickly. The more and more I think about it, I think this is going to be a great tool to wake people up who are on the fence, especially on the fence. I mean, you might get a lot of the hero worshippers, too, if you get them to sit through the whole thing. But it's going to be tough. I mean, people are brainwashed. They love this guy. I mean, they've invested some money in it. You know, some of those rhinestone hats they're wearing, that's like a $35 investment, you know. You know, it's tough. They want to rack that fashion. So that those guys might be tough. But the people that are like, yeah, man, I really don't like how we're not getting out of Iraq. And, you know, he's raising taxes. Where's that one, though? We're going to get into that later, the Obamanomics. But right here... Oh, everybody's getting a nice little tax raise. This one's out of MSNBC. Obama officials defend tax hike in budget. President's plan increases tax on every American. Weird. So without further ado, I want to run the trailer. There it is right there. Obama officials defend tax hikes in budget. Weird. Oh, I thought we were getting a tax break. I thought the checks were in the mail, Obama. What happened? What happened, my man? All right, let's play it. The Obama deception, then we're going to go to your calls.
On March 15th, a carefully crafted corporate fraud will be exposed, and a vicious hoax will be revealed to the people of the world.
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here to save the planet Earth.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set.
Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong.
Yes, we can.
Obama's health care plan will include coverage of all essential medical services.
Yes, we can.
Obama is a cruel hoax. He works for Wall Street. He's an agent of finance capital.
Where did you come up with the number $700 billion? Here's the Treasury spokeswoman's quote. It's not based on any particular data point. We just really wanted to come up with a really big number.
To Democrats and Republicans who've opposed this plan, I say, step up to the plate.
A few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
Secretary Henry Paulson is no George Washington.
I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashkari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for.
Obama pledged that he would resume the security and prosperity partnership talks between Mexico and Canada that President Bush initiated.
The old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
Robert Gates is going to remain on the job as defense secretary for at least a year.
Plenty of sources knew about this meeting, told us and others that it was at Hillary Clinton's house, but clearly it wasn't.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
We see you causing a depression so you can blow out the economy and consolidate it and bankrupt it. We know that you are enemies of free humanity, and we are here standing against your tyranny.
The Obama deception on March 15th. The people strike back.
And there you have it, March 15th, the Obama deception. At least some of the smaller banks are starting to wake up, and they're giving the TARP money back because they know it's going to be too much government regulation, and they're going to throw them under the bus anyway. That's out of, what is this? This is Reuters right here. Some of them giving the TARP money back. Smarten up. There it is. Get it out of here. We don't want it. The regulations are too much. We're going to get into that later. All right. Promised you I'd take your calls. Let's go to callers. Let's go to Richard in New York. Richard, what's on your mind?
Jason Burmis.
Yes, sir.
Richard Cole.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I had a couple comments that you seem to have cleared the Glenn Beck issue,
mm-hmm.
but not thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Glenn Beck, he's got problems, you know, and, you know, people deserve the facts, and mm-hmm. what he's presenting to us are not clearly the facts.
You know, he's definitely not, well, first of all, he's not as articulate as, say, a Lou Dobbs. He's not as genuine as, say, a Lou Dobbs. The thing is, he relates to the everyman because he's a quick talker. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
He's a tool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically, I listened to him today,
mm-hmm.
and, he brought up the FEMA camps this morning,
mm-hmm.
Later on, he totally dismissed them as a conspiracy theory until he verifies them by an independent team of researchers, which he has yet not to, he claims that he's appointed an independent team of researchers to
let me just read you some of the civilian inmate labor program bill that's declassified.
He claims the American people deserve the facts, and he won't report it until he gets the truth.
All right, well, here's the facts. You need to call into his program and say, look, Section 1-5, civilian inmate labor programs.
Yes,
it's right here, okay?
But here we go. Here we go.
What's he going to say? Yes.
What we're dealing with here is the ability of the American people to stand up mm-hmm. and say, listen, you know, this is crap. I want to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the only ability for an American to stand up is to file Freedom of Information Act request.
I'll say that this. Aiden Mahogany, I think, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but he's one of these guys, especially in regards to 9/11, he is an FOIA master, and I totally agree, but
and I can tell you right now, I'm a former Marine,
mm-hmm.
and three-quarters of my brothers
mm-hmm.
in the 2nd Marine Division are going to be deployed in the fucking Afghanistan. Sorry for the language.
All right, I'll talk to you later. All right, let's jump to the next caller. A lot of good points, kind of all over the place. But before we go to Leo and Mass, and Leo and Mass, you're up next, let me just read Section 1-5 of the Civilian Inmate Labor Program I mean, it's a document. You don't need an FOIA at this point. It's you can download the PDF file and print it, okay? Providing a source of labor at no direct labor cost to the Army installations to accomplish tasks that would not be possible otherwise due to the manning of funding constraints under which the Army operates. Okay, the economy's out. You're not even going to be paid for your forced labor. But, you know, I mean, it's section after section after section. The document's right here. All right, Leo, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, last time I saw you was when you were down in New York at the 9/11 thing.
Oh,
anyway,
cool.
I'm a Tamil, and I was living in Sri Lanka back in 55 to 57,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a little familiar with what's going on there because as Tamils, we were the minority, but we were the kind of the kick-ass minority that took advantage of the English system
mm-hmm.
of colonialism, and we got all the best jobs and ended up controlling the economy, and we were like 15% of the nation.
So you feel like there's a resentment towards Sri Lankans?
Well, no. Yeah, well, see, the Tamils, Tigers,
mm-hmm.
are operating with help from you-know-who,
mm-hmm.
because you know who was kicked out by Sri Lanka when the tsunami happened. You remember that?
No, I don't. Why don't you refresh our memory?
Well, after the tsunami, Izzy Unreal came over and said that they wanted to check over, and Sri Lanka said, no, get out.
Mm-hmm. So and you think that the Mossad has their hand in this operation?
Oh, I mean, you see, they punish their enemies.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think that it also speaks to the fact that they want to decentralize power in the Middle East and they want to create these kind of terror attacks for an excuse for troops to be there?
Oh, that's part and parcel of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is that I lived in a Sinhalese village,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, at first they had a little trepidation about us because we were, you know, Americans but of Tamil descent, and so that they, you know, we gave us all kinds of weird. They thought we were CIA and all. Finally, afterwards, we realized we were just living there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've become part of them. And they loved us so much that when the riots happened in 55, they said, oh, don't worry, big sister. None of our crazy relative friends will come up and bother you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just see this thing from a Sinhalese standpoint, and that we were in a position of control way above our numbers in the culture. I mean, my uncle had a tea plantation.
So you think that this is retribution, basically. I thank you for the call, Leo. We're going to have to move on. We got a bunch of callers. Let's go to Robert in Florida. Robert, what's on your mind? Robert, are you there?
Hey. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I just want to say congratulations on your new show, man. I'm really excited about it. Cause,
thank you.
You really do a great job, and you're very knowledgeable, and it's going to be really great to have you as well. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about, I mean, I have so many things in my mind, but was basically about drugs,
mm-hmm.
Specifically about neurological type drugs like Paxil and the other SSRIs that you and I know Alex is all
reuptake inhibitors. Sorry, I had a little echo in my mic. Yeah, reuptake inhibitors that attack your brain functions, absolutely, and often cause depression. You know, you look at all these school shooters; they're always on all these combinations of drugs and people are putting their kids on Ritalin at 9 and 10 years old. It's disgusting.
It is. And the thing is, I'm on that. And I don't want to be on it. And I can't get off it. Okay? And I've been on it since 1997.
And why is it? Is it a chemical dependency or is there a court order?
No. There's no court order. It's
okay.
A chemical dependency. I'm going to tell you, I have never experienced anything like this in my life. First of all, I didn't want to take it in the beginning. I went to the doctor because I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having some trouble studying and paying attention. My classes kept getting more advanced, and I was having trouble with studying. So I thought I had like ADD or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to her, and she tells me I'm depressed. And I said, well, I don't feel depressed. I don't, you know, I feel like I have some issues with concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts me on this stuff, and I didn't think it did anything. I tried.
And what are you taking? What exactly is it?
It's Paxil.
Okay, you're on Paxil.
Yeah. So let me just make a long story short. Basically,
mm-hmm.
the point is this. If you try to get off this drug,
mm-hmm.
you experience the worst side effects. And, like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like having a whip, an electrical whip inside your body when you don't have this drug in you when you're, you know, coming down of it, coming mm-hmm. down off of it. Mm-hmm. I've tried to wean myself off of it, and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty ugly, and I just want to kind of like let people know that that kind of stuff is happening out there, and that, you know, that to be careful, because they'll tell you, oh, try this because I think this is what's going on, it's going to help you, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm like stuck on this stuff, and it's.
And had no benefits whatsoever. Robert, I thank you for the call, and I pray to God that you can get off the stuff, man, somehow, some way. You see, I mean, can you imagine that? He got on in 95. This is almost a 15-year dependence on Paxil. It's disgusting. All right, let's go to Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. I wanted to congratulate you on your new show.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I mean, I'm very excited about listening to it every night. There was a couple YouTube videos I wanted to kind of point out, and maybe other people can check them out beyond you.
Mm-hmm.
First one was Barack Obama, Constitution, quote, in context. It was actually a response to a video where Barack Obama had talked about the Constitution having deep flaws,
mm-hmm.
which if you do check out that video, my handle is FreedomFighter2285. I commented a bunch about it and tried explaining, like, how things were back in at least the Founding Fathers' days and how they fought.
And what the Constitution and Bill of Rights are really about.
I'm sorry? Are you asking me what they're about?
No, I'm saying it, and you probably talked about how, you know, what they're really about. I mean, these documents aren't flawed. There was always room for change, reasonable change. But they were always the people's change. And now it's not like that. They just pass these executive orders. They pass these things in cloak and dagger. I mean, Obama released a bunch of these John Yoo memos. And I mean, it's not a shock what they were saying. They were saying basically we're going to buy up the press, you know, we're going to take away freedom of speech in some cases, we're going to imprison people indefinitely, we're going to use torture. And the thing is, he declassified all these documents and made them public, but he hasn't repealed any of these acts. You know, Patriot Act 1, 2, and 3, or parts of 3, are still in effect. Military Commissions Act, still in effect. So, continue.
Oh, I agree with you, and I'm saying that, like, I understand our Constitution's totally under attack, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, to me, it's just totally absurd what's going on, and the Founding Fathers, they put amendments in there to make sure that if something was wrong, that it can be fixed, you know what I mean, and that's the whole thing about what amendments were for. But anyways, and he had talked about the 13th and 14th Amendment, but it was a very hurtful clip, because I don't believe that it's a flawed document as much as he says it is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, and then the second clip was, it's actually called 9/11 Truthers Meet the Creators of quote-unquote Loose Change.
Mm-hmm.
That was another video. A lot of people commented how they didn't like it either, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was just that it seemed like a bad attack on you guys, and I was really upset about it.
You know, it's a ridiculous attack. I've seen it before. It's out there, you know. They pull quotes out of context, and they make Dylan Avery to seem like a demon when he's just a young guy trying to do what's right. I thank you for the call. Let's jump to Beastie in Michigan. Beastie, what's on your mind?
Hey, man. I'll echo everybody and say congratulations on your show. I'm excited.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you.
Welcome. It's funny. A caller just a second ago kind of touched on what I was thinking, which was FOIA requests.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting around brainstorming about some solutions and stuff, and this is more to Alex Jones. I don't want to make it sound like you're a lapdog or something.
No, that's all right, but go ahead, man.
I was thinking he should FOIA himself from the FBI documents, because you know the FBI has a file on it.
Oh, absolutely, but somebody just, who was it? Someone else did just FOIA for their FBI documents. He's a lot older than Alex. I mean, this guy is almost on his deathbed. I think he's 85 or 90 or something. I believe he's a European journalist, and they just said, no, you don't get him. No.
Nope,
it's just like, it's, you know, I love what Aiden does over at 9/11 Blogger. He does awesome work, but, you know, I don't even want to say 9 times out of 10. Folks, it's more like 49 times out of 50. It's no. No. And like 1 out of 50, he gets just a little piece, but we need those people to do that for those little pieces that come over time.
Yeah, it would just be, I think it would be a powerful proof, you know, like the idea that a cover-up is proof of the crime, and, you know, if proof of what the FBI is saying about patriots, and could read that stuff on air and say, look, they're afraid of us, it would just prove that we're right.
Hey, you know what? Go watch 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. You can watch one of the guys who was being trained by the FBI when he tells you the founding fathers are terrorists. All right, go check it out. It's on there. This is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're going to continue to take your calls, and then on the top of the hour, we're going to go to Obamanomics News. It's the Info Warrior, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. We shall attack. All right, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're going to take a couple more of your calls. You know, I was just out in the hallway thinking to myself, you know, why do I do this? And, you know, one of the big reasons I do this is when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, the people in charge are just like the concubines in Rome. You know, these same people are in charge, all right? And they think they can do whatever they want. You know, they're into the occult. They like to rape little children. It's time to stop these monsters. I mean, can we all agree on that? Kitty rapists are not good. Can we raise our hands and say, you know what? Enough. Enough. And they definitely shouldn't be running the show. All right. I'm kind of off on a tangent there. Let's take more calls. Let's go to James in Florida.
Hey, Jason Burmis.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Excelente.
Oh, well, this is kind of weird. It's like 10:55. I didn't even think. I saw the number on the iTunes. I was listening to the rerun.
No, you know what? Like, we're going live now, man. It's live now, 9 to midnight Central, 10 to 1 Eastern. And we're going to be doing it 5 nights a week. I'm actually going to be sitting in for Alex Jones on Friday, so I get to do a whole 7 hours of radio. We're trying to bring people in, man. We need people like you to not only know there's a show on, but to tell other people about it.
Yeah, I never really knew about that. Well, I don't know. I was looking at this thing. It's really concerning. It's probably the most concerning thing that I've seen around. It's the FEMA camps going around, and they're talking about, like, these red category, yellow category, and, like, blue category.
All right, let's just talk about these three levels, okay? These are the lists. This is why the guy was so concerned back in the Iran-Contra days, because he saw that they were going to actually categorize citizens in blue, red, and yellow. Yellow is a little bit of concern. Red is off to the FEMA camp you go, you know? And yeah, blue is, here's the lapdogs. They're just going to take it. Maybe they'll work there for us. You know, maybe they'll rat everybody out. They'll be the little Stasi force. They are real, man. They're absolutely real. And
they're getting, like, see, they're getting ready for this because they want to try to take away all the weapons, and then they're going to get, see, they're getting ready to do this. And what I'm saying is, like, if this is what's going to happen in the next couple of years, if they get away with gun confiscations, like, nationally,
I think it's going to be more incremental. You know, they might do some small roundups or whatever, but I'm telling you, they want us to consent to it. Okay, they want us to beg to get into the FEMA camps, and all they have to do to make that happen is to blow out this economy a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, take the homes away from a few more people, and they're going to be running right in there, man.
They're going to be how many, like, houses though? Like, everyone's house?
No. Listen, when people actually start hitting the streets because entire neighborhoods are wiped out, all right, these people are going to have to live somewhere, and the bankers aren't going to be like, oh, just live in your house. Go ahead, just take,
yeah, so
you know what, don't
be,
pay.
Like, riots and people, like,
well, they'll probably say,
like,
listen, there doesn't have to be a riot. We'll take care of you here. And they'll say, here, you can sleep here. We have beds for you. We have food for your children. They don't want it to get violent. They want small insurrections at best. Because if it does get violent, you know, the cards, let them lie where they may, man. All right, thank you for the call. We got to jump to another one for the end of the hour. Let's go to Josh in New Jersey. Then we're going to hit news in the next hour. And then Mark Dice coming up in the top of the third hour. Josh, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just wanted to touch a little bit on what you were just talking about, on how, you know, they're trying to pretty much lull us into these camps and want their help. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually, you know, even though they're trying to do it incrementally, I think eventually enough people are going to wake up, and you can't stop the rage, man. You know, like, I think there's going to be a serious, like, meltdown, and just people are going to revolt. And, you know, I think that, honestly, I think that's what's really necessary to show that we're serious. You know,
well, I hope the human race has a spine, man. I hope the human race says, yeah, let's step up to the plate. Let's take back humanity. We want a free man. But, you know, with all the high fructose corn syrup jacked up with mercury and us sucking down Oscar Mayer wieners, I don't know if it's going to happen. The iPhone's out there, brother. All right, we're going to come back after this. It is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and GCNLive.com.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wild, wild, wild. Streets on fire. The mob goes wild. 21 guns, box made of pine.
Later from the government, sealed and signed. To your mother's doorstep. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We are at the top of the hour, and I just want to blitz through the Obamanomics news. We're going to be talking about this in the next half hour, then we're going to take your calls again. I was heavy on the Gordon Brown yesterday, heavy on the Gordon Brown, the UK Prime Minister, because earlier in the week he actually admitted that the shadow global banking system existed, and it is a cartel. But remember, we need to fix this shadow global banking system with a world banking system. You see, they admit to aspects of the New World Order only to bring it in. Only to bring in the New World Order. They announce it. Bring up that Time magazine article with the New World Order as the headline. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. So they admit to the shadow global banking system, but a world bank's going to save you. So Obama, Brown call for global approach on the economy because it's all about globalism. See, globalism isn't good. There he is with a big old smile. Huh, that limey Brit. Those are some good teeth for a Brit, let me tell you. Gordon Brown, very deceptive, very bad man. He's in here, and now they're agreeing, yes, we have to work with the countries of the G20, and we need a bigger regulatory change for this world banking system because, you know, this shadow global banking system is no longer okay. Meanwhile, the smaller banks are getting hip to the tricks, and they're saying, you know what? No dice. We're going to give that TARP money back. We don't want this. There's too many obligations that are being put on the banks, especially for the small ones that see themselves getting gutted. Okay, we see threats of future actions, particularly in lending mandates. So the understanding among bank now is get out fast as you can. See, the smart banks, the ones that aren't the big banks that are trying to consolidate the power and really eat these guys up, are going to give the money back. Let me see who's doing it. Some 400 banks and a few others, notably Insurer American International Group, AIG, took TARP money. Many said they did so to help the economy, not because they needed it. So the ones that don't need it, they're getting out. Okay, so some of the banks, giving it back. Meanwhile, on the Obamanomics front here at home, it's now coming out. Yes, everybody's getting a tax hike. The checks are not in the mail. It's tax hike town. This is MSNBC. Obama officials defend tax hikes in budget. See, they always tell you, we're going to lower taxes. We're going to bring more jobs in. We're going to end the war. No, no, and no. Yes, we can. No, we didn't. It's that simple. Yes, we can. No, we didn't. I mean, what exactly can we do? We can cow down to the cult of personality. We can buy Obama books that look like Time magazine articles. Can we pull that up? Well, I know we have it. You know what? Maybe I'll just grab it in the next break and I'll show it to you. I mean, this thing looks like a Time magazine. It's sold for $12. It is complete propaganda. I never saw the George W. Bush actual magazine. You know, I'm not saying I put it past those monsters, but when I see this Obama magazine and it literally looks like Time, and I'm seeing it every time I go to a shopping mall or I'm going to, get food. What is going on? Who is sponsoring this? It's total brainwashing, and it's so that they can raise your taxes, keep the war going, and create a world banking. I mean, the world banking system's here. They're just going to consolidate more power and screw us over bigger, folks. That's what it's all about. And when I'm talking about expansion, it's right here. Treasury Fed launch loan program, iExpansion. This is out of, a Reuters article right here? Boom, right there. Treasury Fed launch loan program, they're eyeing expansion. Of course they are. Of course they are. This is about an expansion of power. They want more for themselves and less for us. What don't we understand about that? Why can't we get it? And over in London, some of these criminal bankers are actually crying foul. No, no, we want 50 million pounds in unpaid bonuses. The criminals want even more of your money. They want it all, folks. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. Actually, I don't want to play. I want to beat the New World Order. That's pretty much it. I used to want to play. I used to play a little baseball back in the day. Maybe I miss a little baseball now and then. But you know what? I like to win ball games, so that's why I'm here. Pull up on this, guys. This here is a Time magazine cover I'm holding. Okay, here it is. Time magazine. There's Obama, his wife. It's the commemorative edition. Okay, there's this. Now look at this. This here is the Obama, a man of destiny in a time of need. Let me put them next to each other. They look so close to one another. It is unbelievably deceptive. I mean, it's not bad enough that we actually have the Time magazine, you know, that's like this great man. Oh, my God, I love him so much. He's so good, Obama. But then we actually have the Obama, man of destiny in a time of need to look just like the Time magazine, trying to give it some kind of a authoritative, you know, media aspect. Look inside. Here he is. Here he is with his big buddy, a couple of the big New World Order crowd. There's Sarkozy right there, always calling for a New World Order, along with his buddy Gordon Brown. Oh, isn't that lovely? They're all such good people. They're here to help us, folks. They're here to save the world. And save the world from depression and global crisis with a New World Order. Can we pull up that article, too? Let's pull up that Time New World Order article. I mean, it's the headline. They want a global banking system. Let's wake it up. Let's wake it up, folks. But no, we need it. It's just like I had to hear all these, I want to call them retard Republicans because they don't really know what being a Republican should be about or a conservative. All these people saying, we need this bailout. Without the bailout, everything's going to go under. And these guys just steal trillions and like, yes, give me all the money, I want it all. And then they say, you know what, we're not going to tell you where it went. We're not going to give you any loans. We're not actually going to help anybody with it. We just wanted to rob you blind. Again, at least some people are giving the TARP money back. Blockbuster seeks debt overhaul, shares halted. This is out of New York and LA Reuters. Top U.S. movie rental chain Blockbuster has enlisted lawyers to help it raise capital and refinance debt, but stressed on Tuesday it has no plans to file bankruptcy. Hours earlier, this was the headline. It was Blockbuster hires advisors for possible bankruptcy. So they're really trying to quell the storm. No, we're not going bankrupt. We're not going bankrupt. Right. Sure you're not. Just like Circuit City wasn't going to go bankrupt. Yeah, okay. Just like Citigroup was going to be able to make it. I mean, you know, Citigroup now openly owned by the government, 37%. It's unbelievable to me. Blockbuster spokesman or spokeswoman Karen Roscoff said the company has hired a law firm, Kirkland & Ellis, but denied news reports that the firm could help Blockbuster file for bankruptcy. So they're trying to keep all the investors in there. Shares of the U.S. company, which have scrambled to compete with the increasing popularity of online video, plunged more than 76% before trading in them was suspended amid the reports. So, geez, I wonder why they suspended it. 76%. I think this was reported in like a two-hour span, guys. And they're just like, no. What's that? I got to tell you, Netflix did contact us about carrying loose change, and I believe they do carry Endgame. You know, so that's why they're losing. You know, that's why they want to regulate the web too. They don't want to. They don't want companies like Netflix putting out those movies or promoting those kind of movies. You know, it's what Internet 2 is about. But you know what? I'll be pretty disappointed if Blockbuster goes under, because it's really where I only buy my video games. I won't buy them new because I just can't spend $70 on a video game. You know, I'm not that into it. You know, if I'm going to be, you know, if I want my brain to turn to mush for like 30 minutes and really just, you know, get sucked in, I think 20 is the tops I'm going to spend, Paul. And that's not, see, I don't get the movies. The video games are never scratched, dude, because if the video games don't play, it's even more money than the movies. I think the movies, I know they have some kind of rental deal. I think that might have killed them, too. There are no late fees. You got like 15 days with a movie, and then you just got to buy it for $20 if you didn't have it. Video games are different. They don't let you do that. I mean, you got to buy it for 50 or 60. Oh, what, the fact that they're coming in, the Netflix thing? Oh, that's right. Oh, you know what? I didn't even think of that, but you are correct. And just about every shopping center now, there's dollar DVD rentals. A lot of them are the newer ones that nobody went and saw, or the ones that were really good that are like 2 or 3 months old. So it is a lot harder to compete because you don't even have to talk to somebody. And sometimes those people are so annoying. They're like their own worst enemies. We're in there, me and my roommate the other day, and he's looking for, you know, Call of Duty or something like that. I used to be a fan when it was all World War II, but as soon as they went to Iraq, I'm like, I'm done. Anyway, he's in there, and this lady's like, oh, that's the greatest game ever. Why don't you try Bioshock, blah, blah, blah. Talking his ear off. It's like, lady, ring me out. I want to go play the game. I don't want to talk to you, a Blockbuster employee. But we may not be able to talk to them at all. I wonder how many other big companies are going out. Let me try to think for a second. Who else ain't going to make it? You know, obviously Walmart is going to make it. Walmart's around. All right. Starbucks is going to be around. They might decline a little bit. They're not going anywhere. I really think, I mean, we've already pretty much seen the end of department stores like Ames, Jamesway, Kmart's pretty much dead. There's a couple left that could really just die. You know, I don't know if Target, you know, Target does enough slave labor. They'll probably stick around as the counterpart to Walmart. But, you know, I see a lot of, like, big advertised businesses going down. The fast food chains are almost certainly going to stick around because they just love to poison us with cheap food. You know, they're gonna be there. You're gonna have your 99-cent double cheeseburger. Don't worry. Oh man, yeah, just like that new KFC dollar menu. Yeah, it's all off the chain. Oh, I gotta focus. Look, it's not funny, folks. Listen, we need to warn people. We need to tell them right now. Listen, it's time to act like an adult. Realize what's going on. And we need to get people into power that are actually going to change things. Not just say it's change we can believe in, or, you know, hope for America and put up some Stalin-esque posters and change the Pepsi logo to look more like the O for Obama. I mean, we are the zero generation, I guess. I mean, it's not even Gen X or Gen Y. We're the zero generation because we have zero freaking intelligence. We can't see when we're being propagandized so hardcore that we step up to the plate and say, why was this guy put into power? Who is this guy? Yeah, he can talk. Good for him. A lot of people can talk. You know, some people say I can talk. I'm not even that great. All right? Big deal. The guy can articulate a sentence. That doesn't mean that he should be running the country, and he's not even running the country. It's the little snakes behind him. It's, you know, I had G. Edward Griffin on last night, and he really pinned it on the Rockefellers. And I'm gonna have to do a whole show just dedicated to the Rockefellers, man. And I'm laughing because they're putting up the Obama in front of the Superman statue. But, you know, some of my favorite comic book artists, Alex Ross, for instance, you know, he does probably the best paintings in comic books. He's the one that did that, Obama's ripping his shirt open, I'm a superhero, I'm like Superman. It's the big O. And I'm like, really? Really, Alex? Really? And then I got to see him. You know, I grew up with Spider-Man. And then even on the more subversive end, Image Comics does this thing called Eric Larson. He used to draw Spider-Man. He does the Savage Dragon. And even before, I think he had got the nomination from the Democratic Party, Obama was in the Savage Dragon. You know, and I'm voting Obama. Really? Come on. I've never seen a politician so pushed into comic books, except for when I was reading, you know, I was a big comic book collector when I was a kid. When you looked at, like, the World War II era comics, I mean, First of all, Hitler was in just like every single one. You know, he was teaming up with Red Skull, and he was a Nazi, and Captain America was going after him. And, of course, they'd throw, you know, Roosevelt in there and Truman, and you'd see that occasionally. But that ended, okay? That ended. But now it's public, and I'll pull this up. Type in United Nations Marvel Comics, okay? The United Nations has worked a deal out. I mean, you don't think this is about global government, folks? This is about global government. All right, the United Nations is working with Marvel Comics in order to promote world government. That's what it's about. It's getting in your kids' heads and promoting world government and how delicious and wonderful it is. You know, the United Nations should not be making deals with the number one comic book company out there. And, you know, Marvel's gone through some ups and downs. There it is right there. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. UN joining forces with Marvel Comics to bolster images. He has fought against foes ranging from the Green Goblin to Dr. Octopus, but Spider-Man now faces an even more formidable challenge, improving the battered image of the United Nations. Thanks, Spider-Man. Peter Parker, you're number one. I mean, give me a break. I mean, it's so overt. And Marvel is at a new level because, all right, the Marvel movies got pretty popular. X-Men was a big blockbuster. They ended up having two sequels. They now have a spinoff. Wolverine's coming out. I guarantee it's going to be the number one movie of the year. $200 million easy, folks. $200 million easy. Now, I'll give Marvel credit. They were smart enough to try to get out of the Hollywood system, and they actually built their own studio, Marvel Studios. So they are going to be pumping out hit after. I mean, they have the biggest. DC Comics has Batman, Spider-Man, maybe a little Wonder Woman. We had this show when we were a kid. You know, people can relate to that. They ain't making no Aquaman movie. And if they are, I dare I say it will be piss poor. Okay? Marvel has just character after character that is just super sequel friendly. I mean, they've pumped out three Spider-Mans. The third one was awful. Still made over $100 million. Okay? They've made two Hulks. The first Hulk was so shabbily done they had to revamp it. They didn't even call it a sequel. Still made over hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, they got Iron Man. Iron Man's going to be a dynasty. They're making the Avengers movie right now. I wouldn't be surprised. And you know, you look at that G.I. Joe, all world government, pro-UN, you bet your ass. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Trouble so hard, ooh, Lord, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Ooh, Lord, my.
All right, folks, so we're back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're going to be taking your calls in the next segment. The call-in line is 866-582-9933. That is 866-582-9933. And I went off on a little tangent there about how our children are being indoctrinated into world government. And the next indoctrination, well, here it comes, with G.I. Joe, something I grew up on, okay? Christmas wasn't Christmas without a G.I. Joe toy, or several. Or one of the, you know, everything. Well, you know what? Let's just go to the clip. It's absolutely ridiculous. Do we got it, guys? All right, cue it up.
Make the call.
Hold up!
Technically, we don't exist. We answer to no one. And when all else fails, we don't.
What did you say your unit was called?
I didn't.
But, you know, it's going to be total and complete world government propaganda. Get ready for it. And it's going to be cool. It's going to be hip. It's going to have five different sequels. And your kids are going to beg you to go see it. I would have probably been one of those kids. Like I said, I had all the little toys. It's a generational thing. I mean, I remember the old G.I. Joe dolls that, you know, my parents grew up on. And they're like this big. And, you know, they're promoting World War II and all that at the time. And then as it progresses, you can see that there is this operation to get into young people's minds. You know, somebody called in, I think, while I was hosting Alex not so long ago, a month or so ago, and he pointed out that, you know, Cobra Commander was this terrorist that lived in a cave that could never be caught, that would put out video messages to everybody, but he'd always get away. And there'd always be that threat of the Cobra Commander. So you got to wonder, you know, is this predictive programming? Jones seems to think so. I'm not counting him out. I mean, you look at this movie. It's, you know, first of all, the guys don't look like G.I. Joe guys. All right, G.I. Joe guys, everybody had a distinct outfit. You knew who you were looking at, you know? Now they're all in black uniforms. Why is that? You know what? Snowblind looks the same. The white ninja. But, you know, one white ninja? I mean, come on. They used to wear camouflage. Like, 9 out of 10 of the guys would have at least camouflage pants on. There was the sailor guy. But now they're all in black, and they got machine guns. I'm pretty sure that maybe they had rifle machine guns, but they didn't have, like, the Uzis or the Gatling guns. There was none of that. So I guess, you know, black uniforms and big guns sells ball games. And, you know, I didn't tell you what division we were from. I'm not telling you what division. Black Ops, that's all right. You know, it's all right. We got an $80 billion budget. We run the drugs. But I'm not telling you. So be on the lookout for that. I mean, there's just so much propaganda out there. Again, you know, last segment we covered the UN and Marvel being together. You know, I didn't even get through all these different things, but now they're intertwining the stories. Like I said, the Avengers is coming out. That's why at the end of the last Hulk movie, you saw Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, come into the picture, because they're all doing a movie together. And I'm sure it's going to be to, you know, fight the terrorists, because Iron Man was to fight the terrorists. I mean, they actually stuck pretty well to the story, but Muslim terrorists were put in there. And, I mean, if you can't see that this is by design. I mean, when I was a kid, the Russians were the enemy, and you saw that in the movies. I mean, you watch Rocky IV, you know, if I could change and you could change, maybe we all could change, you know? And, like, everybody stood up, and, you know, it's the end of the Cold War. That was preparing us for the end of the Cold War, whether we like it or not. All right, and then things started to change. True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who were the bad guys? Those filthy Arabs. Those filthy Arab terrorists. You know, you look at that and you're just like, wow. And they have all the technology, you know, and they have the torture. They're the ones doing the torture. They're cutting ears off and they got the whole deal and Arnold Schwarzenegger saves the day. This is before any of this Muslim terrorism actually happened. It's called predictive programming. And since we're going to be in the Middle East for quite some time, folks, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. Let me repeat. We're not leaving. You have to continue to create boogeymen in the Middle East. Iron Man. Iron Man was awesome, by the way. I thought it was probably one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen. But at the same time, who's the enemy? The Muslims are the enemy. Let me tell you something, folks. Most Muslims are good family men, especially in the Middle East. You know, they're just trying to raise their families, feed their families, you know, be with their wives and their children, herd their goats, do their farming, do their small job in their cities. They're not plotting to kill Westerners. They're upset with Westerners because they're getting carpet bombed all the time by drones and mowed down in the street by Blackwater. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We'll be going to your calls after this. It's 866-582-9933. We're going to take your calls. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And I just want to remind people, prior to taking the calls here, we're going to have Mark Dice on at the top of the hour. We're going to be going over the Resistance Manifesto, and we're even going to get a sneak peek at his new project. A lot of people are always emailing me. They're like, oh, you know, what's that Dice up to? I haven't seen him in YouTube. I haven't seen any work from him. Well, he has been working on a project. We've discussed it several times. In the second half of that interview, we should be talking about it. Also, the Obama deception drops March 15th, and, you know, we are covering this because he is a front man. They are doing the exact opposite of what he said during the campaign trail. So people need to be aware of that. We need to make this go viral. I really think that this can go viral. We should be sending the trailer to everybody we know. 15th of March, PrisonPlanet.tv members get it first. All right, let's go to Robert in California. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Burmes, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Well, I'm a Planet, PrisonPlanet.tv member and a big fan of your guys' show. Just want to remind people out there, you know, the Blackberries are getting very popular. Mm-hmm. So there's a Flycast application. They'll let all your viewers and parents, whoever, like, listen to it from their BlackBerry. So your fans should download it.
Where can you get it? Can you get it over, like, download.com, CNET, something like that?
There's the crackberry.com website for CrackBerry fans, and you will find a link there.
All right, man. Anything else?
Yeah, the main reason I'm calling, I had a question, and you would be the perfect person to ask about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, the Taliban said they would offer to hand over Osama bin Laden in light of evidence, and mm-hmm. then FBI says no hard evidence connecting Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, in your film, you present that Bush made certain intelligence stop investigating, and Bush ignored evidence that Osama would attack within the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just clear that up for me? And, like,
sure,
of course,
sure.
The towers came down by demolition, but, you know, what was the deal there with Osama? What,
sure,
if
sure.
any role, what did he play?
All right, so Osama bin Laden is a CIA asset, all right, openly in the 80s. He takes the Mujahideen, which was used to fight the Soviets, and he creates the base or Al-Qaeda out of that after they end the Soviet occupation. Now, during this, of course, the United States and Israel are supporting bin Laden and his network. Now, bin Laden's family, also billionaires and notables in the Middle East, they're the ones that are constructing all these camps. You know, we go over that in Fabled Enemies. Cynthia McKinney reveals that. So,
yeah.
Bin Laden's network over there actually is funneling a lot of this money. In other words, when I go into Fabled Enemies and Robert Wright is talking about the funding from Yassin Khaddi, he's moving around millions, if not billions, of black ops money. So, in other words, like in the Iran-Contra scandal, okay, when we were trading arms for drugs, we would use a conduit. We'd use a proxy nation. We'd use Israel to actually – we'd give Israel money, or we'd have Israel front money. In other words, pay them back later. They would buy weapons from Poland and Czechoslovakia for plausible deniability. Then they would give that to Iran. It gives a buffer zone between U.S. and the relations with Panama and Noriega and all that stuff before it came out that he was a CIA asset. So it gives them a buffer zone. So these terrorists, a lot of these guys, probably do think they're working for a bin Laden-type network. In other words, you know, you look at somebody like Mohammed Atta, and he's got ties to not only U.S. intelligence, but it looks like Israeli intelligence as well.
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's moving through Pakistan. So this guy is probably a guy that's a little more in the know than some of the other hijackers. Now, he may recruit somebody who, you know, hears about this guy bin Laden and he thinks he is a terrorist. You know what I mean? So those are the type of memos that they would get. In other words, they would pick up chatter on some of these smaller level guys, or sometimes, you know, Atta and others, because, you know, they were being surveilled by Able Danger and others, and they would post that out, and they would only have a limited scope of information, and they would believe that this bin Laden network would actually be behind it. Meanwhile, there's a bigger fish. So if you look at that, you know, he's putting out all these threats. They're kind of hyping you up for it. But then, at the same time, they're hyping you up for it. They're saying there was no way they could have stopped the attacks. You know what I mean? So that's how they use that kind of a conduit. And, you know, whether bin Laden's still alive or not, you look at the fact that he actually spent the night on September 11th in a Pakistani hospital where they – and there's a couple video clips of this out there. Dan Rather did a report. You can look into it. I think you can get it off the Vanderbilt archive. And Dan Rather did a report where he was talking to doctors and hospital officials, and they moved in, members of the Pakistani military. Remember, the ISI was started by UK intelligence and revamped by the CIA in the 70s and 80s. Same thing, you know, with the Muslim Brotherhood and all that other stuff, the bin Laden network. And he stayed there, and nothing was – they knew this, and nothing was done with Pakistan. It's the same thing where he was receiving kidney dialysis at a U.S. base in Dubai. You know, he has been protected by this same network in the shadows. And when someone does a report like that and says, oh, he was staying in a military hospital, there's one report on it. And they don't go into it. And it just gets buried underneath the rubble. I got to go to other calls. I thank you. That was a great caller.
You got it.
Let's go to Will. Is it Will? Yeah. Will in Virginia. Will, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Burmes?
How you doing?
I was curious. How old are you?
I am 29. I'll be 30 this summer.
Yeah, it's awesome to have somebody close to our age group doing a radio show now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to say I work in a shop, and I usually play Alex Jones, and, you know, the week you filled in for AJ, people were like, you know, how come you're not listening to Alex Jones? This kid sounds cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really easy to get people to turn on to things,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. So well, it's different strokes for, you know, thank you, man. It's different strokes for different folks. We're trying to make this show as big as that one. You know, obviously this is a second or third tier Patriot Movement show right now. We're in our second day. We're trying to bring it three hours a night. I'm going to be doing Jones's show on Friday.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Jones, you know, he reached me. I wouldn't be here without Alex Jones. You know, I looked into 9/11 before that. But he's not going to reach everybody. Some people are turned off by certain personalities. So, you know, I'm trying to bring this in. Yeah, I know.
I don't think half of us would even be awake if it wasn't for his info.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the subject matter that he has covered and constantly been proven right on is unbelievable. So, you know, God bless Alex Jones. Thank God for Alex Jones. But Alex Jones has woken up millions of people. It's time for somebody else to take the torch and try to wake up millions more. And we're going to need those millions of people. So, you know, I'm not here to preach to the choir. I'm trying to bring in, you know, young people. I still like to go to concerts. I still like to hang out and do things. I like to hit the bars. You know, all that stuff. I hope I can relate today's youth.
Well, I enjoyed your commercial bumper with the Day of the Dead intro. That's pretty sick, too, man.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really, you know, and I want to just say, you know, G.I. Joe isn't a bad thing. You know, it's just the way it's being marketed now, you know, versus when we were younger, you know, it was more.
Well, you know what, let me point this out to you. I used to be a big wrestling fan when I was a kid. It's probably why I'm a big UFC and MMA fan now. But I remember Sergeant Slaughter, right?
Yeah.
And so you remember Sergeant Slaughter? And Sergeant Slaughter was the only wrestler that was actually a G.I. Joe character.
Right.
They would give him little bits in the show. Now, remember who the enemies were back in the 80s. Who would Sergeant Slaughter constantly fight with? Well, he'd fight against Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik, the Russian and the Iranian. Okay? So Iran is the enemy, but we're giving them weapons, you know, with our little drug dealing deal. But the propaganda is that Iran is bad, and Russia is the enemy in the Cold War. So, you know, I couldn't get enough of it. I knew that those guys were bad because Sergeant Slaughter was telling me so. So, you know what? I'm telling you, it doesn't seem like they're bad, but they're always used to manipulate the youth, and they're going to continue to do that. And it's had a base now for over 50 years, and it's time to start talking about it. I hear you, man. I grew up, listen, my heart is in that stuff, too. I can't tell you how many. My favorite was, I can't even think of his name right now, but it was the sailor guy. What was his name?
Shipwreck.
And he had the parrot. I love that stuff. It made me think the Navy was cool. No, I'm sorry. It's just not that cool. And they're going to continue to use that, and they're revamping it. Like I said, I don't like the black uniforms. I don't like all the guns. I don't like the world government message. I thank you so much for the call, man. I gotta move on. I got a full call list. Let's jump to Leo in Florida. Leo, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, first time caller. Just listened to your show yesterday for the first time, and
cool.
Really, really good so far. I woke up recently, probably within like the past 6 or 7 months, and I've been trying to follow up on this whole states going against the federal government in the 10th Amendment, whatnot.
The sovereignty bills that they're introducing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if you had any other information on that, and also about the Real ID Act, how they're passing it on with the stimulus packages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your take on all this?
All right, sure. Let's talk about the sovereignty bills. There are people that are waking up. I believe Texas has done it. I think Illinois has put one forth. New Hampshire's done it. And off the top of my head, there's another one out there. I think it's Ohio, right?
Yeah, I believe
Oklahoma
so.
Did it. Yeah, Oklahoma may have also done it. So people are waking up. They want states'
it's
rights.
It's over 30, Burma.
It's over 30? See, Jones is yelling at me, but he's saying it's over 30. So that's – we'll see how many actually pass. I don't think that any of the states are actually going to be able to secede from the union. I would be pleasantly surprised if I was wrong, okay? Don't see it happening. I like the spirit of it. The Real ID Act, man, I've got my new New York license. I'm actually going to have to change it to a Texas license, but let me break it out for PrisonPlanet.tv members. Now, my old one is really beat up, okay? Now, this had some markers in it. I mean, it looks bad. This had some markers in it, but this new one, oh, my God, forget about it. I mean, the backs are all different. There's all these holograms in it. This is basically my Real ID card. I have a scanner number on the back. They scan it. They know where I live. They know what I purchase. I can't get, you know, anything that – I can't even get cold medicine without them running this thing. I couldn't believe it. Like, I think I had to get – Some cold medicine the other day. It was behind the counter. But there's all sorts. I mean, little imprints. There's a little laser thing in. What they're trying to do is consolidate power yet again. And they're trying to have your license be your passport, be your RFID chip. And you have to – it'll be a crime if you don't have it. If an officer says, you know, it's not probable cause anymore. If an officer says, "Let me see your identification," and you don't have it, oh, it's an arrestable offense. So, you know, I think that they're really trying to go for the cashless society control grid, and this is just another step in that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Go ahead.
Also, I had another question about this, this GMO stuff. They're talking about how, like, recently an outbreak of corn, like, overtook Mexico's natural corn crops. I mean, is this the same kind of thing that we could expect to happen here in the States as far as...
Well, I'll say this, man.
You
can bet on it. And you just look into Monsanto and what they've done with corn, and then check out Codex Alimentarius and what they're trying to do. I'm gonna let you go because your phone's beeping. Codex Alimentarius seems to be the next step in poisoning America and the world. They want to regulate what kind of nutrition is in your food, what kind of vitamins, what kind of proteins are in there, and give you garbage, genetically modified garbage. Here, have some more Kool-Aid, kids. Oh, you want some Oscar Mayer Lunchables? Good. We got 12 different flavors. Pump them down your throat. I mean, poison. They want us not to be able to combat disease, and they want to cull us. And then people, don't you mean kill us? No, culling is a mass killing of society. 80 to 90% own documents, read them. UN, all these little globalist organizations talk about it. That's what they're trying to do. Codex Alimentarius, they don't want us to be nutritious and delicious. They want us to be poisoned and dumb, you know, and dead, really, you know, and enslaved. Yeah, that's the plan. And I know it's heartwarming, isn't it? Paul's looking at me like, oh, this is just terrible. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope we stand up. But, you know, we're so willing to just guzzle down Coca-Cola right now with the high fructose corn syrup and mercury. It's got mercury in it. Half of all products with high fructose corn syrup, they found mercury in. Not the planet. It's not the planet mercury inside of it, okay? It's the poisonous metal. Think about it. Why is that? All right. Let's jump to the next caller. Let me see. That was Leo. So we're on Eric in Pennsylvania. Eric, what's on your mind? You with us, Eric?
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Hey, man, I definitely want to congratulate you on your new show. I'm watching you on Prison Planet TV. I love it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Now, I listen to Alex's show every single day, and we had a big victory, and he never really mentioned it. It was the victory of Mark Begich, the Senate seat in Alaska.
It's news to me. Tell me, my friend. Go for it.
Well, you're familiar with Dr. Nick Begich, right?
And you know, it's familiar, and the last name does sound familiar, but, you know, I can't keep it all. Go for it.
Well, Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Okay, the harp documentaries. That's the one that's narrated by Martin Sheen, right?
No. It's his doctor in Alaska. He goes over the whole harp thing and the mind control. Well, his brother ran for Senate, and his brother actually won the Senate seat against Ted Stevens.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Now, is that that's not a state Senate spot? That's an actual Senate spot? One of the two senators?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is a big win.
Yeah. And I was wondering if you could get that guy on the show for an hour, because the guy's,
You know what, I think he's had him on air. You know what, I'll look into it. We have the same, me and Alex have the same producer right now, and I think he's had Begich on before, but that's a good point. And for those that don't know what HARP is, why don't you just give a brief synopsis?
Well, HARP is like, basically, it's a grouping of antennas that they have that are very powerful, and they basically do a lot of different things with frequencies. I know that they project energy into the ionosphere. They can actually penetrate the ground and see what's under the ground. They can actually use it as a type of electronic defense system for, say, incoming missiles. I think they got the idea from Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Now I'm going to talk about frequencies. I thank you so much for the call, man. We're going to pull up what frequencies can do in the next segment. We're going to show you John Kansas of Erie, Pennsylvania, who cured his cancer using frequencies and small particles of gold, and then also figured out a way to burn salt water using a certain frequency. This is very powerful technology that is highly classified. Okay, HARP exists, and they're using HARP, but they don't tell you what it's for. And it has a number of different, look at it this way, folks. They have sound weapons now for people where they put, you know what, let's bring that clip up too. They put military personnel out into an open field. They have a satellite dish on the top of a van, and they shoot it at the people, and they think they're on fire. It hurts like fire. okay? And this is a network of antennas that is doing similar things. You know, God knows, is this weather control? It could be. Is this mind control? It could be. It could be all those things. It's very dangerous. And we're going to go to that saltwater clip in the next segment. One more caller. Let's go to Mo in Texas. Mo, what's on your mind?
Jason, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Big fan.
Thanks, man.
Well, I just had a question. You know how the states are declaring sovereignty and whatnot, and of course, you know, federal government's aware of the situation and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But President Obama had all the governors of each state at the White House, I think, 2 weeks ago. So I was wondering, excuse my ignorance in state legislation and whatnot, but what if he was telling them something along the lines to veto such legislation?
It's very possible. Obviously, it's not part of the globalist agenda to have states secede from the Union and declare their own sovereignty and try to bring back the Constitution and Bill of Rights. I'd say this. There's always some kind of a resistance from the people. Even with the Patriot Act, major cities like Philadelphia did repeal large portions of it. Okay, we need to put this out there. Hopefully, it will gain a little more traction in the media. The media is treating it like a joke. Okay, and it doesn't surprise me that he's talked to all these governors. The question is if one of the 50 is going to step up and say, you know what, we need to do something. This is not a good plan. We should get out of here. I thank you for the call. We're going to go to Saltwater Burns when we come back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes at PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. Shake some tyranny off, huh? So I'll brush it off my shoulder. See ya, tyranny. You're out of here. It's not that easy. Rome wasn't built in a day. It's going to take a lot of work. But with your help, you know, it's a brand new show, folks. You know, I want you to get the podcast out there. I want you to let people know that this is, you know, not only a radio show, but we're doing 3 hours live every night at PrisonPlanet.tv. This is one of the top alternative news shows out there. We're going to go over everything. We want you to email us your stuff. We read it. My MySpace is myspace.com/Jason Burmes. It can be taken in all directions here. You know, we're going to take callers every single night. And speaking of frequencies and harp, I want to show you what a frequency can do. You know, he talked about Tesla. Now, from what I've read, Tesla actually had a wireless power plant in the late 1800s. This guy... If you watched the Hollywood film The Prestige, David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla, and he's just doing all these amazing things with electricity. And he was a big advocate of open circuit electricity, and him and Edison would go at it. They hated each other. Edison was a big closed circuit electricity guy, but on his deathbed, Edison's like, you know, he was right about that open circuit deal. Let's play the clip. It's Saltwater Burns. Anybody can check it out. High frequencies mean good things.
Instead of paying almost $4 for gas, how would you like to run your car on salt water? Now, it may sound crazy, but wait until you see what a local inventor has come up with that could change the world. And as Channel 3's Michael Mara shows us, that's not all he's trying to do.
We need to get it to around 100.
Retired TV station owner and broadcast engineer John Kansas was not looking for an answer to the energy crisis. He was looking for a way to cure cancer. 4 years ago, inspiration struck in the middle of the night. Why not use radio waves to kill the cancer cells?
And the best thing that would work as antennas was my, you know, I could find at 3 o'clock in the morning, was my wife's pie pants.
His wife, Marianne, heard the noise and found her husband inventing a radio frequency generator using her pie pans.
I got up immediately and thought he'd lost it.
Here are the basics of John's idea. Radio waves will heat certain metals, like gold. Tiny bits of that metal are injected into a cancer patient. Those nanoparticles are attracted to the abnormalities of the cancer cell and ignore the healthy cells. The patient is then exposed to radio waves, and only the bad cells heat up and die. Killing cancer cells is amazing, but John had also stumbled on yet another amazing breakthrough.
You have enough in there?
His machine could actually burn salt water. John Kansas discovered that his radio frequency generator could release the oxygen and hydrogen from salt water and create an incredibly intense flame.
just like that. If that was inside a car cylinder, you could see the amount of fire that would be in the cylinder. I can put my hand in here.
Put your hand into the beam, nothing happens. Put in a fluorescent bulb and it lights up immediately. At the APV Company Laboratory in Akron, top engineers have checked out John's amazing invention and they were amazed.
And we saw it go up to 1,500 degrees centigrade, the temperature. And it's incredible.
This simple Stirling engine is running with the heat generated by the flames coming off that test tube. The fuel, nothing more than salt water.
Well, that could be a steam engine, a steam turbine. Could be a car engine if you wanted it to be.
That's the true American innovator. Someone that is not looking for something, he just finds it.
This is the most abundant element in the world, water. And salt water is everywhere. And to see it burn actually gives me chills.
So imagine the possibilities. Salt water as the ultimate clean fuel. A happy byproduct of one man searching for a cure for cancer. In Erie, Pennsylvania, Mike O'Mara, Channel.
You see what I'm saying here? Going green has nothing to do with this. These technologies exist. Green could have happened. But green is about controlling you with carbon credits and lies, folks. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're going to be back with Mark Dice after this. We're going to take your phone calls in the last 15 minutes of that hour-long segment with Mark Dice, theresistancemanifesto.com. You know, peace, love, and understanding, you know, other than the fact that it's promoted by filthy, dirty hippies sometimes that I don't care for because they don't want to work or actually be, you know, proactive. They just want to be, oh, everything's screwed up. You like my sandals and my vegan shoes. Like, dude, come on. Eat a cow. Deal with a little leather in your life. You know what I'm saying? All right. Without further ado, let's introduce our guest for this evening. It is Mark Dice of theresistancemanifesto.com. He is an author and activist. He has a new project on the horizon we're going to be getting into later. But Mark, you haven't been on YouTube in a while. What have you been up to?
Oh, man, I've been battling the wonderful Bohemian Club. Now, this is the second time that my channel actually has been completely deleted and suspended. The first time was from Michael Reagan after he threatened me and all 9/11 truthers. Him and his producers filed a copyright infringement claim against me for posting the death threat on the YouTube channel. So that was pulled. I contested it, finally got the channel back. Then, interestingly enough, the Bohemian Club filed a copyright infringement claim against me, and now my entire channel, The Resistance, is gone again. And the infringement comes from me posting a montage, basically a photo montage of some pictures that I had gotten that were posted for sale on eBay. Somebody had died, a member of the Bohemian Club had died. Somebody found the photos of the club in his estate, put them up for sale on eBay, and put digital scans of them up on eBay. I couldn't afford the pictures, the physical pictures, but I did copy them and put them into a montage. And the Bohemian Club says that that's copyright infringement.
Well, so that's absolutely ludicrous because those pictures are from the 30s and 1913 and sometime the late 1800s, aren't they?
Most of them were pretty old. Some of them looked like they were just from a personal collection from some parties that you know, whoever this individual was, maybe he took. And I don't have his name in front of me, Victor Campagno or something. I don't have it in front of me, but they filed a copyright claim, so it's in the works. And how YouTube works is if you get two or three strikes with videos that are supposedly copywritten, then they'll pull one, you get one strike, and if you get two or three strikes, then your entire channel is deleted. So that's the case with my channel now. I do have a backup channel. It's YouTube/TheResistanceChannel. And so you can see probably most of my videos there, but it's pretty disappointing when the Bohemian Club has to file a copyright infringement claim against me to try to remove one of the videos. It's I think it's completely fruitless of them. But
yeah, but I mean, if you look at the regulation on the web, like let's bring up Google Video again up on the screen for Prison Planet members. They have, first of all, Google Video now has been in its beta for 4+ years. They bought up YouTube. They combined the two. But now they don't want you to know what the top videos are. They're not even putting links up to the top 100. They're not putting links up to the hot videos, to the most blogged. There's about 15 videos on the side that they promote. And yes, it's usually count-based, but it's not the top ones. And they show you some hot videos. Now, you actually have to do video.google.com/rankings or video rankings to get to the top 100. And it is not convenient for, you know, people used to go to the top 100 and see what's a hot video. Now there's nowhere to go. You know, it's not a shock to me that they're shutting down your YouTube channels, especially with things like Hulu, which are giving them even more corporate control over, you know, what content is out there. I want to talk about the Bohemian Club when we get back, who they are, what they're about, where they fit into the Resistance Manifesto, the book. It is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Let's jump right back into it. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're here with Mark Dice. And, you know, for the new listeners, maybe somebody who's turning into the podcast tomorrow or checking us out for the first time on YouTube, with the great listeners out there spreading it to their friends and family members, why don't you tell them what the Bohemian Club is, Mark?
The Bohemian Club is a private organization that was founded back in 1872. It's basically a rich man's club. It's an elite a gentleman's club, so to speak. It's an all-male organization, and in the middle of nowhere, basically, out in the Redwood Forest Grove up in Sacramento, outside of Sacramento,
Sonoma.
There is a huge 2,700-acre Redwood Forest Grove, basically a forest where they have this kind of a rural camp, and it's kind of their secret little getaway. It's been that way for quite some time, and so the elite of the elite, presidents, CEOs, military, high-ranking military officials are members of this club, and in the summer in July, the first 2 weeks of July, they go out there and have themselves a nice little party, and they have discussions about different political things that are going to be kind of coming around the pipe here in the next quarter, in the next year, and then during the next presidential administration. And it's kind of an insider's look as to what to expect, what the Bilderberg Group or what the Illuminati is really going to be pushing for the next coming months and coming years. And it's a very, very secretive place. There's not really any reporting allowed. Everybody has this agreement that what goes on in the Grove is not to be discussed outside of the club. And if that's not disturbing enough, there's all sorts of bizarre satanic rituals and a mock human sacrifice. It's basically a theatrical human sacrifice using a papier-mâché life-size effigy of a person, and that's kind of their kickoff to the party. And it's extremely disturbing, and what a lot of people don't talk about is back in the 80s, there's been some horrific allegations as to some child abuse that was going on in the Grove and some snuff films that were allegedly produced there. And that gets into some of the darkest, deepest and darkest and most evil aspects of the New World Order. But essentially, the club is a private resort for rich people, movers and shakers, politicians, and they have their fun out there and bring prostitutes in and do all sorts of things that is largely a secret and hidden from the public view.
Yeah, this is the military, political, and corporate elite meeting once a year for 2 weeks in private in Sonoma, California. And if you don't think that big decisions are made there, it's not even an open secret. The Manhattan Project, or the nuclear nuclear bomb program was launched at the Bohemian Club and at the Grove. Okay, this has had every Republican president since Coolidge inside of it. Okay, Democrats go there too. People like Jimmy Carter, people like Walter Cronkite like to go there. Art Linkletter. I mean, it is just amazing to me that they are able to consolidate the power structure into such a refined element. I mean, 3,000 people. And what is so bizarre is that they are into the occult. Why are they into the occult? And this is all covered, by the way, in the Resistance Manifesto. You can get that at Infowars.com or at Mark's website. And I think it's very important to realize this because a lot of these leaders present themselves as Christian conservatives. You know, whether or not you think that, you know, people shouldn't be able to be occultists or paganists, whatever, these guys present themselves as the complete opposite. And their, you know, political supporters are often people who think that these are, you know, good Christian church-going folk, and nothing could be further from the truth. Like you said, the opening ceremony, which is called the Cremation of Care, you have members dressed up in druidic outfits. You have a man in a large priest hat, and he goes on for about an hour about, you know, Gaia worship and paganism and occultism. And then at the very end, a man dressed up like Death rows in on a boat, hands him an effigy of a baby, and they throw it on this fiery altar, and that's the cremation of dull care. And it's basically a symbology of letting go of your care and your morals for success and power. And this is a power grab ritual, and it disgusts me. And most people, when you tell them that, they just can't even fathom it. Yet, you know, you're 2 seconds away from a YouTube search and you can actually see the ritual, Mark.
You know, when I was first getting into this years ago, I had seen clips of Alex's footage and I actually thought that he was crazy. I didn't know anything about him. I thought that it was either a hoax or that he was mistaken, that even if such a club and such a ceremony did exist, that certainly these high-level elite people wouldn't be involved. It would just be some weird sort of pagan club, and it would just be sort of a bunch of social misfits. But sure enough, it exists, and I had become personally acquainted with Chris Jones. I became friends with Chris Jones. He's an individual that worked up in the club, and I've seen the photos and the video that he took on the very camera that he took it. I've seen with my own eyes the membership lists, a program guide, a book of matches from within the club, and sure enough, the club certainly exists. And you know, why are they into the occult? Well, it's an indisputable fact that the Nazis were into the occult. You can check out a film online. It's played on the History Channel. It's linked up on markdice.com under the free video section called "The Nazis: The Occult Conspiracy." And the Nazis themselves were into the occult and into this weird view of sort of their racial heritage was supposedly a lineage linking back to the mystical lost city of Atlantis, and the Jewish people were allegedly the phony chosen people, and the Aryans were the real people. And so Hitler's driving force was an occult philosophy. An occult, of course, means hidden, and so it's a philosophy, it's a set of ideas that these people that adhere to it are going to keep to themselves, because if others know what it is that they believe and that they do, then they're going to be exposed. They're not going to be able to carry out the agendas that they want. So powerful people all throughout history have been into this mysticism and this occultism, and not saying generally that it's different religions and paganism and mysticism are bad, but what happens with these people is they use these teachings and it becomes a justification for them to ruthlessly take advantage of other people, to not abide by the golden rule of life, to treat others the way that you want to be treated. And essentially what it means is that they believe that there's this secret knowledge that's out there, this knowledge of existence, this knowledge of who we are, how we were created, the meaning of life, the fabric of reality, the rules of the universe, the workings of God. And these people believe that they know it, that they have figured it out, or that somebody had figured it out, or entities from another dimension, or gods, or angels, or demons had figured this out and have conveyed these ideas to these individuals. And so they have what they believe to be the truth, the workings of reality. And so that they think that empowers them and makes them
enlightened and makes them a god in a sense in this life, and those people that don't understand those supposed inner workings of reality and of life and of existence and where we are and the nature of God and reality, that those people who don't know these things are then seen as cattle and slaves, and the people that have this supposed secret knowledge then use that knowledge to take advantage of other people. So, you know, I'm not against enlightenment teachings and mysticism. I myself am a Christian, but I've studied all different religions. But what is at the heart of the elite, the Illuminati, the New World Order, is this mystical teaching, and they keep it to themselves because they then believe that they are gods, that they have learned the true workings of life, and that they can use that knowledge to then better themselves in this life and take advantage of the worldly physical pleasures that life has to offer, while then acting as a vampire, essentially sucking the life, the money, the energy, the freedom out of those who are not aware of such workings.
Exactly. And, you know, beyond paganism and occultism, a lot of them are into Luciferianism, and basically that is do as thou wilt. So, you know, the occult means hidden. They are hiding their true selves. You know, Alex Jones covers this in Order of Death, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. You know, at PrisonPlanet.tv, we're showing you part of the ritual right now. And it's very disturbing to me that these people are at the upper echelons of power, and it seems that the most concentrated levels of power actually believe in this stuff. And, you know, at the same time, Mark, they try to promote atheism. You know, no gods exist. If no gods exist, and religion in itself altogether is just, you know, this tool that's used to control people, which I believe in many cases it is, why is it that they have chosen the occult as their religion?
Well, the reason, I'll answer that, but the reason that they promote atheism is because they don't want people to have sort of a structure, to feel themselves as connected to this higher being, to feel that there was some sort of a higher spiritual force or a higher intelligence or a God, if you will, that created and designed everybody and everything and the physical laws and laws of morality. And so if they can disconnect people from that sense of being a part of something that's larger or having this intelligent design create this life with certain rules to follow, then they can just sort of cast people into the wrong direction. They can disconnect them from any sense of right and wrong, and then they ultimately wind up harming themselves, their family, their friends, society in general, and it keeps them chasing their own tail and distracted with meaningless things such as American Idol and football games and materialism and drugs. And so the reason that they're into Luciferianism, I'll tell you, is the Luciferianism is ultimately, it goes in stride with the secret knowledge. So they believe that Lucifer gave them this secret knowledge. So they believe that Satan, whether this is a literal belief or an allegorical belief, it's still the same thing, and I'll get into it more on the other side of the break, but they identify with Lucifer as bringing this secret knowledge that they themselves have used to better themselves, and they keep it from other people, and I'll expand on this on the other side of the break.
To them, he is the light and the way. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We'll be back with Mark Dice after this, PrisonPlanet.tv. We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're on the line with Mark Dice of the ResistanceManifesto.com, where we carry the Resistance Manifesto. Don't forget, the Obama deception just drops on March 15th at PrisonPlanet.tv. Don't forget, you can watch me for the full 3 hours, my pretty little mug, from 9 to midnight Central Time over at PrisonPlanet.tv. I promise my teeth will get better as time goes on. I think I actually get the braces off tomorrow, folks. I can't wait. And we're discussing... God, you're killing me, guys. All right. We're discussing not only the elite, but their little occultic club that they're in, the Bohemian Grove. Now, this isn't the first club that most of them join. A lot of them are recruited into college clubs, such as, you know, Book and Snake, Scroll and Key, and the most nefarious of them all, Skull and Bones. But when it comes down to it, a lot of them follow the teachings of none other than Lucifer, which they often refer to as the light or knowledge or the actual architect of the universe. And I want to get into that, Mark.
Well, the reason that they identify with Lucifer or Satan is because he's the rebel. He's the bad guy. He's the cunning man that's going to break the rules. And so society has established a code of conduct in every culture around the world. You know, regardless of what religion you are, you can't say that the Ten Commandments aren't a great code to live by. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't take your neighbor's stuff. You know, it's a fantastic code to live by, and it helps to organize society so that we can all function properly and that everybody can be as safe and productive as we can. And but what they do then is in their little secret societies, their occult hierarchies, they think that they're cunning enough to then be able to break the rules, that they can secretively make an agreement amongst themselves to then they're not going to abide by the rules that society has laid out. And that they're going to secretly do whatever it is that they want to do to advance themselves and their agenda, which is largely a financial and a materialistic agenda, at the expense of others that aren't in on the club and that who believe that everybody is going to live by the code of conduct that is sort of accepted around the world, that you treat others the way you want to be treated and you abide by the standard rules of life. And so they literally identify with Satan, and they believe that they have somehow that Satan can give them, or Lucifer, which they call him, the light bringer. Knowledge and light are sort of synonymous with them. That's why the Illuminati is Latin for the illuminated one. So they use Lucifer as this sort of a metaphor for being enlightened and for knowledge and for wisdom. And so they really do identify with him. And again, this isn't just, you know, my analysis of this. This isn't me just claiming this. I mean, if you look at occult books dating back hundreds of years, this is a secret philosophy that's been taught in these hierarchies. And the reason they do it in secret is because if we all knew what it was that they were doing, that their worldview, that their life's philosophy included them breaking the standard accepted codes of conduct, that they would be exposed. They wouldn't be able to do what it is that they do. And they do believe in a supernatural force. They do believe that there is a God. And essentially what they think, whether it's literal or metaphoric, it's still the same, is that a God created us, and they call that God or Jehovah. And then they believe, just like the story in the Bible that says that Satan came down and tempted mankind and made Adam and Eve eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They believe that that was a good thing, that God was either a substandard God or that the creator of the universe was not fully the highest God, and that he didn't give mankind all the abilities that he wanted to. So then Satan had to come down and help mankind. And then they take that allegory, and you know, and even if this, I get into this actually in my new book, and even if this was true, they still are a bunch of scumbags essentially, because they're not spreading whatever the truth is that they know it to other people, and they're knowingly lying and deceiving other people as to their beliefs and their intentions and their codes of conduct.
Yeah, I mean, they're deceptive sociopaths at best that are into this occult. Now, the problem is that this sounds so out there without actually showing somebody. They can't believe it. They can't grasp it. And then there's these other people in this movement that infiltrate and start saying other outrageous things, and people find out that this is true, that they are into the occult, so they'll believe a lot of the disinformation. So I want to talk about your upcoming project and take calls on the other side. It's 866-582-9933. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, back with Mark Dice in a moment.
Fights along both.
folks. We're back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmess, and we're going to be taking your calls this segment with Mark Dice of the ResistanceManifesto.com. Mark, we've discussed this. You've got a new project on the horizon. Why don't you tell people what you can about it?
It's coming very soon, mid-April. It's going to be another monstrous book. It's probably the size of the manifesto. It's about 450 pages. Mm-hmm. And it's a supplement, but it's also me taking the skeptical approach to all of this. And I know that when a lot of people are new to this, you start hearing all these different ideas, and you don't know what's true and what's not, and what's a valid source, and what's an exaggeration, what's a straight-out lie. And so this new book, a large part of it is dedicated to debunking a lot of the quote-unquote conspiracy theories surrounding the Illuminati and secret societies and the New World Order. And so there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of claims. And I know that there's a lot of intelligent people and well-meaning people that sort of just hear little bits and pieces of certain things or from certain speakers and certain authors, and they start telling these to other people, and a lot of it, I'm sad to say, is completely fabricated, is exaggerated, and just false. And so what this is going to do, this new book is going to sift through a lot of the material really regarding the Illuminati and secret societies and their evolution and the claims of what it is that they're involved in, and who's involved, and what sorts of aspects are really true about this organization. What is it that they've done? What is it that they're planning on doing? What is the possibility that certain allegations that are far out there are true? And so I take a really skeptical approach at this material, and I think it's going to do a lot of good for a lot of people. And it takes a really good close look at several individuals, several specific claims that are out there and have still been out there for a long time. And I hear well-meaning people talking about these issues as if they're true, or these people, and they mention a certain person or a document or a book as a source. And so I'm going to try to clean up some of the mess that's out there, so that we can sift through it and really just get down to what it is that's true, what's factual, and we can just focus on that, so we cannot get lost and lose credibility in some of the more outrageous claims that are out there.
Yeah, and you know, it's well overdue. You know, without naming any names, one of these certain claims that you go over is someone takes something real like the Bilderberg Group. You know, it's obviously out there. They obviously have a lot of power. They obviously get together once a year. However, they say that these guys get together once a year in a top secret submarine at the bottom of the ocean so nobody can listen. See, it's an extension of the truth, an exaggeration to bring people in. And then you have to wonder what that person's actual motivation was, don't you, Mark?
Yep, and then, you know, we can spend an entire hour on this maybe in the future, but the individual we'll just let the cat out of the bag is Bill Cooper, and I'm sorry to say he's got a lot of fans. A lot of people really think that he was a martyr for the New World Order, and that his book is fantastic. And I have had his book for years. I read through parts of it. I thought it was pretty decent, but when I went through and took a closer look and read it cover to cover, I mean, I can't tell you how many just blatant lies and exaggerations there are in there, and the one is that you just mentioned. So let's just be real here. Bill Cooper in his book says that the Bilderberg Group meets once a year in a submarine under the polar ice cap to discuss their plans, because he says that that's the only place in the world that they can meet without having their conversations bugged or detected or intercepted. And then to top it all off, he says that he learned about that secret submarine Bilderberg meeting from, quote, top secret documents that he had seen when he was in naval intelligence.
Yeah, he was part of ONI.
His claims just get completely, even maybe more bizarre than that. And his whole case of claiming to be a you know, top secret level Q security clearance on a need to know basis says that the reason why he was given that clearance is because he was signing up for the Navy. He circled that he was a member of the De Molloy Society, and there was a supposedly a questionnaire about if you're a member of any fraternities or any groups, and he said that he circled the De Molloy Society, which is essentially a Freemason branch for children. And so he says that he circled that, and then he said that that must have kicked him up into the upper echelons of naval intelligence, and then he was immediately briefed that you know, the naval intelligence had murdered JFK, and that it was the driver that had a gun and turned around and shot him, and then all of this from the, quote, top-secret documents that he had seen. And he claims to have seen all these top-secret documents about the Bilderberg Group and the Rothschilds and all of this information. The far-fetched claims are just completely ridiculous, but his other aspects that he says that, you know, he saw as top-secret documents is nothing new, nothing at all new. It's just it's information that had been circling in the Patriot movement for years, if not decades, and then he just claims they've seen documents that prove that that was true. And I mean, we could just go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's recycled. Yeah, it's recycled information with a different flavor in order to try to entice people into that and to buy his book. We're talking about Behold a Pale Horse, of course. All right, let's take some callers for Mark Dice. Let's go to Jimmy in Ohio. Jimmy, what's on your mind?
Wow, man, I have a lot of questions. I love Bill Cooper. I think we should build, you know, a memorial and put some of these people, you know.
Well, have you read his book, by the way? I mean, other than just like
stuff
you talk about.
But I've done, 50 hours of you know.
The lectures?
Internet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, anyway. I watched some of his lectures anyway. I mean, you know what, it is disappointing to see that a lot of this stuff is disinformation, but a lot of it isn't the disinformation that's absolutely blatant. Like Mark said, they'll take something that's real and then they'll redistribute that information in a way that seems new to bring more people in. I mean, I think overall what Bill Cooper did was quite positive to bring people in. I mean, that's one of the grandfathers to bring in the New World Order movement. But somebody like, you know, Anthony Hilder, who I, you know, disagree heavily with on some issues, there's a guy that seems a lot more genuine that was putting out the same information in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I have a few questions. If you could give me time, I've been holding for a while.
Mm-hmm.
My first thing is I want to say congratulations because this is really a really good show.
I don't think you're going
anywhere. You know, could be, and one thing that makes a good show, I think, is that you take calls, and I think that's important to do that. And you know, truly open and honest radio station should do that. But my question, well, first of all. My first question would be about Beverly Eckert and why there seems to be nobody really reporting on, you know, what I...
Well, I mean, all right, first of all, let's talk about Beverly Eckert, who she is. Beverly Eckert was one of the 9/11 widows. She had been pressing for disclosure of more documents, an actual investigation into 9/11. She had done stuff for 9/11 victims' family members, and she was on the flight in Buffalo that went down. I think that nobody's talking about that other than in passing because there isn't, you know, we don't know why that plane came out of the sky. We don't know whether that's a false flag op. We don't know if that's just engine trouble. What I take away from that crash, and the only thing I take away from it is there was a huge plane at that crash. You know, you saw the debris. You saw the huge fire. The fire was going on for almost 24 hours. Yet on 9/11, when a plane crashes in an open field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, there is no plane. Okay, so I just think that Beverly Eckert is one of those people that definitely was looking into the truth. I don't know how far she had gotten. I don't know if she had gotten into controlled demolition or things like that. But she definitely was aware that the government was being dishonest with their reports.
Yeah, I know it sucks for you guys because you can't just say, well, there's a murder. You know what I mean? You can't just say, well, she was murdered.
I don't think it sucks for us. I just think that, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you look at what she did. She tried to be a positive influence. It's a tragedy that she died, but... You know, I mean, what
but
else can you say?
It seems like in your position that you really can't, you know, it's kind of like being, you know, having documentation and stuff like you can't really say stuff that you know to be true. But anyway, let me say a couple more things.
Sure.
First of all, Mark, I'm a big fan of yours. I don't feel the same way about Bill Cooper. I don't think that I haven't read Behold a Pale Horse.
You should.
Okay.
Quickly, Jimmy. I got five other callers.
Okay, Mark, there's a several videos of yours that are pulled from YouTube, not just the stuff on the Bohemian Grove.
All right, let's cut you right there. Let's go, Mark. Yeah, Mark, why don't you just talk about just some of the, not only your channels have been pulled, but I mean, some of the content on there. I mean, you've tried to be a positive force. You've sent troops Patriot videos. You were attacked by Michael Reagan. You were actually, you know, called for your death and all 9/11 truthers. They pulled your video channel for posting that. It was repealed. And then later on, this week apparently, they pulled it for some Bohemian Grove photos. The Bohemian Club actually filed against you on YouTube.
Yeah, the whole channel, YouTube.com/TheResistance has been suspended. I'm refuting it. It's possible that it's going to be restored, but I had probably 100 videos. They're all gone. A lot of them are posted on the backup channel, YouTube.com/TheResistance channel, or you can go to Mark Dice, DICE.com, and just click on the YouTube button, and you can watch a lot of them. Rush Limbaugh's people had filed a copyright infringement claim for one of my phone calls into Rush Limbaugh. And had that pulled. Michael Reagan, when his death threat, I posted that. It was a 3-minute death threat to me and all 9/11 truthers last June. That was rising. It got 75,000 views within a couple hours. It was going to rise up to one of the top viewed videos of the day, and they immediately filed copyright infringement, and then my entire channel was deleted. I filed a counterclaim with that. And it was restored, but it's getting to be very difficult. So I might do a new channel just for my video blogs. I've started doing some video blogs on a couple different issues, and I'll keep another channel for phone calls, different videos, news clips, and things like that, so that it'll be 100% original content, so it won't have any issues like that. But you can probably find a lot of the videos on the Resistance channel, or just keep checking my name on YouTube, and some of the stuff should come up.
All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Greg. Greg, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm calling from Michigan, and I saw a film. I didn't know if you've seen it. It was propaganda, and it took me a while to mull it over and come up with the reason why it was out there. It was called The International. I don't know if you've seen that film, have you?
No, I haven't, but I from what I heard, one of my friends actually worked on the set there. He was a PA, and he was discussing how it's about a global banking cartel that runs the world, and who is it? It's the lead guy from Sin City and, City of... There's a couple movies he's in that I like. Clive Owen, and he's going against the international bankers. But I haven't seen it. Why don't you give us a quick synopsis of why it's propaganda?
Well, first off, it was one bank, not the global banking conspiracy, but it left you with the impression that at the end you got the feeling that the lead, the character, the hero was just hopeless. He got done what he had to do, but I'm not going to give away the plot of the movie, but you just can't fight the big bank. And so I thought, well, in feature films, anything that's theatrical, you can suspend disbelief. And I think that's the message that was behind that flick.
So it's a defeatist, don't even try to fight these guys, you can't win kind of attitude.
You know, I got a call on this. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
Hey, callers, how you doing?
Hi.
This is Alex. I'm up here working late at night on the final stuff.
The man works so hard you can't believe it.
The point is I'm just telling folks why I'm here. I'm not just like perching above Burmese like some parrot. But I haven't seen The International, but I read the synopsis of it. And basically, and I guess the caller is confirming this, but I predicted this on the show, that it's just like Blood Diamond. Mm-hmm. In Blood Diamond, it's one rogue diamond broker that's artificially keeping up prices. And he's buying diamonds from the evil Africans that dig up the diamonds themselves. When what De Beers and the Oppenheimers, the monopoly, wants on record is they want to shut down all the countries and individuals digging diamonds because they actually own the slave camps. And I've had the lady that made the PBS documentary about it on. They own the real slave camps. And they want to keep the monopoly going. So we're fighting the bad guys, but they miscast it, as rogue groups trying to sell diamonds. Same thing's here. It's one bank, and what's Gordon Brown, everybody saying, right as the movie comes out right now? We've got to shut down rogue banks. We've got to have a one-world government bank that rules all of them when those very rogue banks are their banks. It really just means giving them governmental power. So they tattle on themselves but misrepresent what it is with a false problem reaction solution and then bring in more control. But I'm going to let you get back to Mark Dice and the callers. And, Mark, it's good to have you here, my friend. And maybe we need to get you a show in the near future here on the system. But
I'm just enjoying listening to you guys while you talk. But
thanks,
what do you think
man.
About
Keep
that?
Up the and good the- work. Looking forward to Obama deception. You know what we should do is we should organize a phone mob into conservative talk radios, into Hannity, into O'Reilly, if O'Reilly's even still on the air. I know he's going to quit. Into all the conservative talk shows, we should organize a phone mob and get everybody to call in and plug the video on March 15th and that whole week when it comes out. Get people to ask questions about it. Have you seen it? Get all these people talking about it. Let's get millions of listeners. Let's use
Sean
Hannity's
audience. Yeah, why don't
you take
that
on? Let's use Glenn Beck's audience and get them to start talking about this and spread the word.
Well, you know, we're saved. Glenn Beck is going to investigate. And when the show's over, folks should go up to Infowars.com and hear my audio blog. I kind of got mad driving over here tonight. I went home and saw the family came back. And I just watched the clip of Glenn Beck going, he'll investigate the camps and tell us if they're real or not. Then he went, oh, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. Oh, Fox News conspiracy. They're telling me what to do. As if it's not on record that they have meetings at the White House and are told what to do. As if there isn't total propaganda going on out there. But listen, I don't want to take any more time from Mark Dice. I'll see you guys later. Vaya con Dios.
All right, later on, Alex. Yeah. All right, let's jump to another caller.
One other thing about
Mark.
Glenn Beck. I listened to him just to monitor his propaganda for about 20 minutes a day on my way to work. And, you know, I hear him talking about some of these issues, but twice in the last week or two, I've heard him say that the 9/11 truthers are nuts. And I don't subscribe. I was going to try to pull the podcast. I don't know if anybody posted it. I haven't even checked. But he was mentioning that the 9/11 truthers are nuts. He equated us with Nazis again last week. And I heard him again this morning on his radio show. He was talking about the FEMA camps and how he's trying to debunk them. But I just don't know if I can debunk them. And then he mentioned something about, I don't want to get into the steel doesn't melt at 1,600 degrees. So he still is, he's a very... very slick propagandist, and if you go, I think that the clip is probably pulled. I'll try to post it again on YouTube. He said that he hated 9/11 victims' family members for asking questions, and he told them to shut up. And you could probably find this. I posted it. I dug it up and posted it a couple weeks ago. It's probably deleted. Maybe I can get it up there. Maybe it's still up there. But everybody's new hero, Glenn Beck, said that he hates the families, and he's never knew that he could hate a victim's family members, but he hates the 9/11 victim's family members for asking questions, and he wants them to shut up.
All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Jessica in North Carolina. Jessica, what's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I was originally going to talk about the military oath, and then I hope that anyone who does know any military members will try their best to remind them of the military oath, because that's not really what's drilled into their head nowadays.
Well, what is drilled in their head? You got 20 seconds.
It's basically a lot of them get screwed over, and they continue that to the people below them.
Well, I mean, they can win lawsuits that Agent Orange is giving them cancer and dying from Monsanto and Dow Chemicals, $180 million. And you know what? No, you don't get it. Final segment with Mark Dice. It's the Info Warrior, PrisonPlanet.tv.
I knew she was a virgin when I first met her. Rockin' stockings and popping out of the Catholic school sweater. Mom told me she could do better than a criminal. 17-year-old psychotic trying to be lyrical. I never met
all right, folks, we are back. I wonder why we got to that. I don't think I programmed that part of it, but who knows? I thought I had the Iraq part on that. That's a Mortal Technique. Great hip-hop artist. We're in the final segment with Mark Dice of the Resistance Manifesto. I want to remind people, Alex Jones has a special audio blog up at Infowars.com going after the deceitful jackassery of Glenn Beck. I'm going after these FEMA camps. I'm going to get down to the bottom of it. Meanwhile, we read you the 2005 documents for internment camps, civilian internment camps on Army bases. It's a real deal. It's been around forever. The continuity of government program does exist. They do want to declare martial law. They're trying to bring us into these camps incrementally, but don't be shocked if it comes all at once. I mean, all they need is the right disaster, and that's why we have to be awake. That's why programs like this one exist. All right, we got a bunch of callers. I'm going to go to the one that disagrees with Mark first. Let's go to Michael in California. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? First of all, I want to say I think Glenn Beck is a complete tool, and he's just feeding everything that is stamped and approved from, the higher-ups. And speaking of which, actually, nice on the tool bumpers, by the way. Anyways,
oh, thank you.
I want to correct a few things that are really, really, I think, exploding in that Christian community. I'm not a Christian, but I study religious heavily, and I think it's, you know, going to feed the fire and get all the basic beliefs of good and evil in an uproar when you sensationalize this Lucifer Satan kind of thing. But if you really get down to it, you know, I don't know if you're following Milton's Paradise Lost or something like that, or if you're following the actual scripture, but Satan comes up like one time, and it's actually a, you know, it's a Latin word.
Isn't the one time that he's in the Bible, or maybe it's the Old? No, it's the New Testament. Is when he meets. Doesn't he meet Jesus on a mountain or something like that? Mark,
well, no. What he's talking about, the word Lucifer was used once in the Bible, and it's people attribute it to actually the Babylonian king. Oh, you know, falling. Oh, how you have fallen, and all this. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. What I'm saying is that Luciferian ideals and symbology don't mean this big supernatural Satan guy that they all worship, okay? I think if they have complete control of the world, they're going to utilize people that may be brainwashed into worshiping kind of Satanistic things and use that as militaristic force, okay? And when it's done and it's been accomplished and that's all done and the use is over, they'll erase them too, okay?
So you don't think there's like a physical Satan?
Using logic.
You think like it's not a physical Satan, it's more of an ideal?
It's the worship of knowledge and technology, understanding that man can improve himself and become more like the designer of the universe. I mean, this makes
that's one way to look at it, and it's possible, even if it is an allegorical view like that, if it's sort of a metaphorical view.
But hold on, whether it's an actual creature or not, they do all these weird rituals, and people like Aleister Crowley, I mean, I had to watch, there's a documentary out there called Aleister Crowley and the Other Loch Ness Monster, where they basically admit that what he was into was Luciferianism and Lucifer worship, but then they say that, you know, Lucifer is the study, like you said, of hidden knowledge.
Of that symbol, though.
Yeah, but they made it out to like being Crowley's the greatest guy. But they make it out like Crowley's the greatest guy in the world. Meanwhile, he's this high level Mason. He's part of all these secret societies. His kid dies under two of his kids die under very suspicious circumstances, and he openly did blood magic sex rituals. Isn't that right, Dice?
Listen. Yeah.
Hold on, Michael. I gave you your chance. We only got 2 minutes. Go ahead, Dice.
Anton LaVey is supposedly an atheist, and in his brand of Satanism, people say that it's atheistic Satanism, but in his own authorized biography written by his second wife, it talks about how he actually prayed to Satan to bestow blessings to help this little child of his girlfriend or of a friend. So he believed in a supernatural force. He believed that he could place curses on people. So this
all
is
right,
not
Mark,
just about
I gotta stop
knowledge
you.
And wisdom. This is about a supernatural connection to some sort of an entity.
Or they believe it. Who knows? Guys, it's the Info Warrior. We're going to be back with the podcast. Remember, Alex Jones tomorrow. He's got an InfoWars blog, prisonplanet.tv, InfoWars.net.